Welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com. So at its core, like I said, honor is about seeing and treating people as God sees them, their true worth, their true potential, their true giftings. So how we see people in the natural versus how they are in the spirit. There's something to be said for being able to see into somebody and see somebody after the spirit. Because when I see somebody after the spirit, I'm not looking at the easy outward things. I'm actually looking at what has God planted. It's kind of like if I look at a seed and I just see a seed, I'm not seeing what that actually is, right? Let's say I'm looking at an oak tree seed. I have no idea what that even looks like. But I'm looking at an oak tree seed, right? And if I just say, well, this is just a little insignificant, worthless thing, I'm not acknowledging what it actually is, because what that has the potential to grow into is something massive. It's something huge, something foundational and strong and sturdy. And so to be able to look at that seed and see after the spirit, because after the spirit, I'm beginning to see not just what's in front of me, but what can be. And that's what God sees. When he looks at us, he doesn't just see vessels of dishonor. He sees vessels that could be for honor. So one of the most important questions that Jesus asked his disciples was, he said, what are people saying about me? Who are people saying that I am? And so they're answering and they're like, well, some people are saying you're Elijah. Some people you're saying a prophet. Some people are saying you're John the Baptist, which I always thought that was a weird one. It's like, They're two different people in two different places. It's not like John the Baptist lived hundreds of years ago. So I don't know if people were thinking like Batman, he's Bruce Wayne during the day and Batman at night. Like he's John the Baptist during the day and then he's Jesus. Like I don't get how that one works. But and then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. And as Peter gives his answer, Jesus says to him, you are favored and privileged, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. This is the Passion Translation. I love this translation. It's so good. Listen, he says, my Father in heaven supernaturally revealed it to you. Peter got a supernatural revelation. He got a glimpse from God of who Jesus actually was. And the reality that's true in the spiritual was made manifest to Peter in his understanding. And what's the result of that? The result of that was increased authority. Isn't it interesting that honor is based on right perception and acknowledgement of spiritual identity, and the reward for right honor is increased authority? So Peter gains influence, and it's talking, it's massive the way Jesus talks about it. He's like, this understanding of who I am is the foundation of the church. And you're going to have authority to unlock things in the heavenlies as a result. And really, at its core, what he's talking about there is honor. Because Peter was able to honor Jesus for who Jesus actually was, it resulted in an increase in authority and an influence. And it's true with how God operates in people as well. When we see people and we respond to the reality of who they are, we're able to fully pour into and receive life from them. What God has planted inside of them. When I honor somebody for who they actually are, I can receive from them and I can give to them. And that's powerful, because I think sometimes we live our lives and we see people we just don't connect with or don't engage with. And we live, honestly, in America, we live in a very judgmental culture. And it's become more and more so, especially if you're on any kind of social media. People have become wildly free in their criticism of others. And what happens is we stop treating people even like people. And all of a sudden, a person's not a person. Now they're an argument. and I can either win and beat them, or I can, you know, and so that's kind of how people have started treating. So honor is so far from what we have actually allowed to happen in our culture. What we've happened in our culture is just so often this, I get to minimize a person to something that's comfortable and manageable for me. Just like they were doing with God. You take the immortal, eternal God and you minimize him down to a clay figure or a wood figurine. And now we're doing that even with people. Matthew 10:41, Jesus says, "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." This is a powerful lesson. Jesus is actually saying there is a reward that you receive that you will only receive based on how you receive someone else. There's another person in the room with you, and how you receive that person will impact what reward you actually get from them. So when someone walks as a prophet, there is a level of honor that is due to them, not because they're better than us, but because that there's something powerful about what they're walking in, and if we receive them as a prophet, we can receive a reward that actually breeds spiritual benefits inside of us. When I receive a righteous person as a righteous person, there are rewards internally that begin to take place, and we actually get spiritual food and nourishment and life and gems of understanding and insight that only happen when we receive somebody that way. And I think it's difficult for us to receive people that way because so often we are looking at, what have you done to earn my respect? What have you done to earn my honor, right? Or what have you not done? And it's so easy to see people that we disagree with or people who do things differently. But Jesus didn't say, he who receives a prophet because he has perfect theology will receive the prophet's reward. He who receives a prophet because he's kind all the time and super nice and really gentle. You know, I've met people who are prophets who are really abrasive. I've met people who are prophets who just, you know, I could look externally at their life and everything is not all pretty. You know, the closer you get to people, you know, the more flaws you can see. You know, one of the things that happens to me when I see myself in the mirror, you know, you go throughout your day and you don't see yourself. When I look at myself in the mirror after a week or two, I do it more often than that, but but I start to see little hair growing on my ears, and I'm like, oh my gosh, people probably see that when they see me. You know what I mean? It's like, you're watching on YouTube, great, you can't see it, but you get it right up here, I guarantee you're going to start to notice the cracks and the flaws. And that's when it's difficult to honor people. That's when it's difficult to say, I'm going to receive you as a prophet. Because all of a sudden I am seeing the cracks and I am seeing the flaws. But what the Lord is saying is if we look to people after the Spirit and that kind of honor, it's not about elevating people because they're better than us. And I think one of the things that happens is we live in a culture that's very zero-sum game oriented. So if I lift someone else up, that means I'm lowering myself. And I think the problem is we've even done that with the Lord. We've said, he's so great, he's so magnificent, but the more I lift him up, I have to lower myself. And I've heard people say, God's wonderful and great, and I'm just so lowly and horrible. And I'm like, that's not what Jesus died for. Jesus didn't die so we could think bad things about ourselves and go, oh, I'm worthless. Like, no, if I was worthless, listen, God doesn't make bad deals. If he sent his son to die for us, that means there is a value that we have. And it's not a zero-sum game. It's not God's wonderful and I'm awful, but God's wonderful, and because he's wonderful, I'm wonderful. And because I'm wonderful, I can say you're wonderful. And I don't have to diminish my value to lift someone else up. Honor is not about placing ourselves in an unhealthy submission. And I think in some places it's been twisted to mean that. In some places honor has been twisted to mean if you really honor the leader, then you'll do whatever they say. And that's not honor, that's misused authority. So I want to dig more into this. Jesus actually said in Matthew 13, he said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Again, the closer you get, the more difficult it is for that honor to be shown. And it says about the town that he was in when he said this, it says, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So catch this. A culture of honor where we view God as he is and we view each other as we are actually leads to an increase in the supernatural activity of God. The more that we honor Jesus as he is, the more that we walk in faith toward him because we see him at his actual place, not the place that's easy and manageable for me. And the more that we do that with each other, there are prophetic rewards, there are spiritual rewards from a culture that says, I'm not going to look at people based on what I can see with my eyes, but I'm going to look after the Spirit. Honor was the difference between a town receiving the fullness of God's healing versus only getting a minor amount. To talk real quick about the ways that this can be twisted, I think one of the ways that this can be twisted is I honor somebody because I just want to take from them, right? So right now I'm just talking about me. Like, yes, there are leaders that have abused honor, but I just want to come from our personal level. So when I'm looking at how I act toward people, when I was young, I was part of a big church, and a lot of us young people would sit in the front row when the pastor was teaching, and if he needed water, we'd get him water, and if he needed a podium moved, we'd move the podium, and we'd look for opportunities to serve him. Not because we wanted to serve him, but because we wanted his job, we wanted his authority, we wanted his influence, and it was so unhealthy. And I was so, my relationship with the Lord was wonderful, but my understanding of what authority was and what leadership was so twisted at the time. And I didn't realize, neither did any of these other young guys, how we weren't actually demonstrating honor. We were serving with the goal of reaping a personal benefit. The only goal of our serving was to reap a personal benefit at the time. And that's different, because real honor would say, I want to serve because of who this person is, right? I want to serve because I see the influence of God in them. And yes, I want to learn from them and I want to grow, but wanting to learn and wanting to grow, wanting to receive that kind of growth is different than saying, I want to receive from your influence and the benefit of your power. And so that's one way that honor can be twisted, but another way that it can be twisted is to honor from fear. And like I said, there are some leaders that have used this honor idea to dominate. They've used this honor idea, you know, the shepherding movement to say, like, well, we honor the leader of the house, and when we honor the leader of the house, what that's code for, you don't ask questions. You don't disagree with the pastor. And listen, that's not who we are. That's not the correct understanding of honor. But when we've seen that happen, that's where a lot of people have been wounded. That's where a lot of people have been hurt. And that's where a lot of people have said, you know, I don't feel safe offering honor to leadership because I know how quickly and easily that can be twisted and turned against me. And there's a lot of people that have been so hurt by the church that even mentioning the word honor or talking about this topic can actually bring up those old feelings of fear. And so we have to acknowledge that the concept of honor has been misused. But I want to move from that into four ways that I believe God actually has called us to honor. Those are the misuses, but let's talk about what is the actual call that God has put on us. And honestly, I found all four of these in one verse, and it blew my mind when I found it. But it was 1 Peter 2:17. This was, gosh, probably 6 or 7 years ago the Lord showed this to me. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And what Paul does is, in that one verse, he breaks down four spheres that we're called to be people of honor. So the first is honor everyone. Nobody is excluded. We don't get to go, I'm not going to honor that person because of their mistakes, or because I don't have a relationship with them, or because I disagree with what they're doing. Like, there's no excuse. Honor everyone. Paul just says, foundationally, we're going to be a people of honor. So the lowest level of honor is, I'm going to honor somebody because they are a human being. Because they are a human being, God made them worthy of honor, and I'm going to choose to honor them. were made in the image of God. And so I think sometimes, again, in our culture, even when we can, you know, there's people that become enemies because they're politically different or theologically different or whatever it might be, morally different, right? Because they're living in sin, because they're making choices that we know are against God, we can say all kinds of things about them that we'd never say about a brother or sister in Christ. And I think we have to recognize that that's not God's design. That's not God's pattern. We honor everyone. The second is love the brotherhood. He says love the brotherhood. So we honor people as fellow believers. That's another level of honor. So I'm going to show an honor to my brothers and sisters in Christ that's a little bit different than the level of honor that I might show someone else. Now, that doesn't mean that I treat them poorly. What it means is, if we talk about honor as I see the way that God, like you after the Spirit, right? And I know that you walk with the Lord, that means that I can receive a little bit more from you and I can give a little bit more to you. I can give, listen, my deep, dark, personal stuff, I'm not just going to share with anybody on the street. I'm also not going to receive their input toward me or my life at the level that I will a brother or sister in Christ. Does that make sense? So I can honor somebody by giving to them. I can also honor somebody by receiving from them. When we honor the Lord, we honor him by giving him everything we have. And we also honor him by receiving from him and saying, God, you're in charge. You're in the lead. Tell me what to do. Does that make sense? So honor involves both of those things. So the way that we honor brothers and sisters in Christ, we honor differently based on their nature. Even, for instance, the way that I would honor my parents or my wife or a mentor is going to be different than I would honor somebody on the street. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man." And I love that because we have a clear example of there is a different level of honor that we show to some people. One of the places we see this in Scripture was with David and Mephibosheth. David and Jonathan, the son of Saul, were like brothers. And they had this amazing covenant to just support each other and encourage each other. And it was so interesting that when Jonathan died, and David becomes king, all of a sudden he remembered, and he's like, he's getting all his feet under him as king, and he's getting the kingdom kind of established. And then he's like, is there anybody from Jonathan's household that I could show honor to, that I could support, that I could love? And he finds Mephibosheth, this kid that was dropped in the middle of the battle and broke his feet. He can't walk, he has no mobility. And David meets this kid, and he says, you're going to eat at the king's table. And you're going to be like one of my sons. And he invites him in, and he honors him because of the relationship he had with Jonathan. Most other people look at him, you know, in fact, when David says this to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth says, why would you do this for a dead dog like me? Why would you do this for a dead dog? That's his perspective of himself. And you know what David sees? David sees after the Spirit. You're not a dead dog. You're the son of my brother. And you are worthy of honor. I think the other place this comes into play is when we see leaders that we're not specifically under. It's so easy to look at, you know, I hear a lot of discussions about other pastors and, you know, people with big churches in Texas or Florida, or, you know, just this person is in the prosperity movement or this person over here, and people will say things about them and laugh about it and make jokes and like kind of play light about other people's ministries. And I got to tell you, there's something we have to be very cautious of when it comes to being critical of people that we don't know. Because I hear people talk about some of these pastors, and now I might say, I read some of these books and I disagree with pieces of it. There's pieces for sure that I might go, you know, I don't know that I believe that's biblical. But I'm not their master. They're my brothers and sisters, and we serve the same master. And if he wants to speak to them about it, he can. but I'm not going to go and speak to other people about what I, my nitpicky things about somebody that I'm not even, listen, I'm not close enough to see their ear hair. So why would I think that I understand enough about them to criticize them to other people? We have to be so careful about that. Listen, the way that we honor people, because when I look at some of these pastors, like, I want them to succeed. I want the best for them. They are impacting, some of them, hundreds of thousands of people. And my heart is they would be blessed in it. I want them to be blessed financially. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I want them to be blessed with people. I want them to be blessed with the voice of the Lord and the presence of the Lord and great impact for his kingdom. There's no way that I would celebrate. See, I think sometimes when somebody falls and we see a pastor fall, the words that come out are, well, they were lying the whole time. They were just hypocritical. Who knows, you know, who knows how long they've been living this way? And we do that with people, and we kind of celebrate a little bit of the destruction and the fall. And I think sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, they weren't that big anyway. They were just normal or worse than normal. Do we do that with ourselves, though? When we have a failure, when we have a massive failure, do we go, oh, man, I was lying the whole time. I was, you know, no, we go, man, that was one big slip up. But I'm good because I did all this other stuff. And you know what I mean? Like, we give ourselves grace and we're like, no, I'm really okay. I just messed up there. Like, it was just that one thing. But we look at someone else and we go, oh, they were lying the whole time. We have to be able to honor and demonstrate that kind of brotherly, sisterly reverence for each other and support and encouragement for each other. One of the biggest things Jesus prayed for was that we would be one. And one of the biggest evidences of the truth of who he is, he said, the world will know that you are mine because of your love for each other. Replace the word love with honor. Because here's what happens. We might say, well, we love each other. I love all Christians. But did you see what happened to this guy? And you know, we eat our own as Christians in ways that most other groups don't do. And we've got to move away from that. There was a group, a political group that I would say I don't agree with, that gathered together, and all these leaders came together, and when they got into the room, they had a goal, and their goal was to shift the atmosphere of a region. And when they got in the room, they said the one ground rule is we will not disagree with each other in this room. It was not a Christian group, but they were very effective. What would happen if we said that? What would happen if we said, you know what, how you interpret this verse in Romans, or how you do this thing, or how you do communion, or when you do baptism is less important to me than the fact that we love Jesus and we believe he's risen and he's the only hope of our world. And because of that, I will honor you. I will honor that church down the road. There's not a church in this city that believes in Jesus Christ that I don't want them to succeed and grow. I'm not looking at them going, well, why do they have 3,000 people? And we're, you know, I don't do that. Because we are who we are called to be, and they are who they are called to be, and we're all going to support each other as we grow. Anyway, I can go on this for a long time. The third one is fear God, okay? Fear God. So honoring the Lord in somebody, you know, there are people that have a specific anointing from him. So when Jesus says, honor a prophet as a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. That's a different level than just honoring a brother or sister in Christ. There's a place of anointing. There's a place of the Lord has actually invested a deposit of authority and influence into this person. And so I'm going to honor that in them. I'm going to honor a prophet because he is a prophet. So I don't honor a prophet the same way that I would honor a brother or sister in Christ. That doesn't mean that everything the prophet says, I take as gold and 100, I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. And listen, you don't check your brain at the door in order to show honor. But you also don't look to find fault in people. That's not the way of Jesus. It's right to honor those that God is honoring. And so when I look at how I want to grow in the many of the spiritual rewards that I walk in, that I've received, of the growth, of the understanding, of the insight, of the courage, of the freedom, has come through my honoring leaders who walk in something that I want to carry. I look for people that are walking in things. I look for their fruit. I am actively looking for leaders that I can draw from, not because I want to steal their power or their authority or their influence, but because I'm like, if I could learn how to honor the Lord the way they honor the Lord, if I could learn how to risk in faith the way that they risk in faith, if I could learn how to be healthy in my marriage like they're healthy in their marriage, and I look for leaders to say what God has anointed them in, I want to honor and receive from. We see this in Elijah and Elisha in the Bible. Elijah, as a prophet, does some incredible things. I mean, he's the first one that brings somebody back from the dead way before Jesus shows up on the scene. He does all of these amazing miracles, and Elisha just adores him. He's his father. Elisha follows him around, and he's like, where you go, I'm going to go. And at the end of his life, when Elijah's about to be taken up by the Lord, they go from place to place, and Elisha follows him like a puppy. And every place they go, the prophets go to Elisha, hey, you know the Lord's going to take your master soon. And Elisha goes, stop talking about that. I just want to squeeze every moment out of him being here. He's not afraid of Elijah dominating him. He's not afraid of Elijah manipulating him or trying to control his life. He says the Lord, he carries an intimacy with the God that I want. And so I'm going to be around him every second I can. We see the same thing with Joshua and Moses. Moses would go into the tent of meeting, and Joshua would go with him. And Joshua's like just sitting in the back, just like watching Moses interact with God. And then Moses would leave, and it says Joshua stayed in the tent. He wants to model, he wants to become like that leader. And there's something about honoring authorities in the spirit that when we take the weirdness and the manipulation and control away from it, it's beautiful, and it's a way that we can actually grow and receive a powerful impact. The leaders that I've gone to, the ones that I've had the privilege of being face to face with, because many of them I will feed on them from podcasts or from YouTube or from different places, but the ones I've had the privilege of being face to face with, I will go to them and just go, how do you do this, and how have you done that, and why is your marriage like this, and why is your faith like that? And I will ask questions and just try to draw, because I would rather learn from their experiences than have to make all the mistakes that they made to get there. And to be able to acknowledge that they've made mistakes, be able to acknowledge they're human beings, but to say, if I can learn from somebody else's successes and somebody else's mistakes, and I can take that into myself, I mean, listen, I will take any shortcut I can to get more of the presence of God in my life. It's not the vessel that you're honoring. It's what the vessel contains. Yes, we honor them as a person, but when we're honoring a prophet or a leader, we have to keep in mind it's not the worship of a person, and it's not putting them on a pedestal where if they fall, my faith in God is shaken, but it's honoring what's inside of them, what they carry. If God wants to speak through a donkey, I will listen to a donkey, and people might think I'm an idiot, but it's about who is speaking through that donkey. The last one is honor the emperor. And I think this one is tough in our culture as well, because when we talk about honoring, these are leaders that are not believers, okay? This could be your boss at work. This could be obviously somebody like the president or our governor. Or how is it that we honor the emperor? How is it we honor leaders that don't follow Christ? How is it that we honor leaders that are deliberately against Christ? The thing about honor is it's not always fair. we may see somebody and go, Lord, why would they be in this place of influence? Why would they have the authority that they have? Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow this person to be there and watch the decisions they're making and watch the pain that they're causing through their actions? You know, when Paul said this, there was a horribly anti-Christian emperor. He wasn't saying this when there was a nice emperor that it was like, oh, let's love this guy. He's so good. My guy got voted into office, so let's honor him. No, this was one that resulted in the death of many, 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 many believers. And yet Paul says, honor the emperor. Sometimes we have to go to God and go, I don't know why you put this person there or why you allowed them to be there, but I'm going to pray for their best, right? Honor means when there's a law put in place and that law doesn't specifically go against God, we honor it. Now, if that law specifically goes against God, I'm not going to honor it. I have a higher law, right? But when we talk about honoring bad authorities, what would happen if we as believers said, instead of praying for their downfall, we began praying for visitations from the Lord? What if instead of it just, God, get them out of office, like, I'll be happy in the next election. Like, instead of that, what would happen if we said, Lord, bless their family, bless their kids, let them have moments of encounter with you. God, speak to them at night. Send them angelic visitations. Send them divine encounters. Send them people, ministers of your word. Send them your prophets to come and speak your life and your wisdom to them. And we began to pray for their best. We see this in the Bible with David and Saul. Saul was a bad leader. Like he started out with this right heart, but then totally flipped it into, he kind of shut the voice of God out and said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And can you imagine David? He's anointed to be the next king. He's going to the palace. He's playing, you know, the harp and doing the stuff with Saul. Saul was the person who was perfectly positioned to mentor David and what it takes to be a good king. And instead, he spent his time throwing spears at him. Talk about a bad leader. And David had the opportunity to kill him, and he didn't. He's living in a cave with all of these men that are disillusioned and have been hurt by the government. And they're living in the cave, and Saul's coming after him. And David goes out, and he could have killed him. Can you imagine? Those guys must have been so frustrated with him. Like, you had him right there. We could have been out of the cave and in the palace. Like, what are you doing? And I'm sure they're like, David, this isn't just about you. This is about the whole nation. Do you understand that our entire country is suffering as long as that man stays king? You're the anointed one. God chose you. Take it. And David said, I will not harm the Lord's anointed. And he honors an evil ruler. Because what David says is, I didn't put him in power. God did. I will not be the one that undoes what God did. Honoring the emperor is tough sometimes. Here's the last piece of this. There's three demonstrations of honor, three ways that we can show honor. And I've already talked about a bunch of them. One is just acknowledge. We honor someone by acknowledging who they are after the Spirit. We honor them by seeing their true God-given identity. Second is, we honor by receiving. I can honor someone by receiving from them. And it's interesting that when you have you ever had a moment where you ask someone for advice, and it might be like near the first time you've done that with them, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, you care about my opinion? And they'll share with you, and they'll try to, like, it builds connection. And all of a sudden, there's an intimacy level that wasn't there before. I've seen this in a lot of my workplaces where, you know, I like to just put my nose to the grindstone and just get my job done. And in the past, there's a couple jobs I've had where, you know, I just found somebody that I'm like, we're just not clicking. We're not getting along here. And so what I did was I just began going to them and asking for advice. And I would just go like, hey, how do you do this part of the job? Or, you know, why do you do it that way? And all of a sudden they'd begin sharing with me, and because I was willing to receive from them, they felt honored. And because they felt honored, a connection was built, a bridge was built. Now, I'm not asking them, you know, in these situations, these weren't necessarily people that I would trust with, you know, how should I manage my own personal finances? Or, you know, I had this argument with my wife. Like, you know, I didn't go to them with those. Those I go to leaders that I can trust. But to honor somebody just with simple things, just saying like, hey, can you explain this to me? And asking questions. Matthew 10:40. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sends me. So Jesus is saying, God is honored. There's a flow of intimacy and connection that starts with people receiving you. So when we receive from somebody, there's a connection of honor that takes place. All right, there's so much more, but I'm gonna push on to the last one here. The third way that we honor is by giving. We honor by giving to somebody. You know, I think this is one of the most powerful ways that we can honor. Because when you give, it's interesting. You look at Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And the Queen of Sheba comes to honor Solomon, just to see his kingdom, to see all the amazing things he's built. And it's mind-blowing. She is stunned. She's completely just, God has blessed you. This is incredible. At the temple and at all this just, I mean, I wish we could see it, like just to see how the splendor of it. She comes with a massive load of gifts for him. And she's bringing like gold and just hordes and hordes of gifts. And she comes to give all this to him as honor. And you know what happens? Solomon gives her more than she gave. Something interesting about honor is the greater king gives the greater reward. Right? It's almost a contest to see who has more resources that they could live without. And so Solomon demonstrates himself as the greater king by giving a greater gift. When you want to honor somebody and they give you a gift, you don't give them a lesser gift. The way to honor them is to give them a greater gift. This isn't obligation. This is just a principle. It's a principle of honor. Now, here's the thing with God. We can't outgive him. You can't outgive God. There's no way anything that we could ever offer to him could outdo what he could offer to us. And so when we honor him, there is reward from that. I mean, the Bible talks about that financially. It talks about that spiritually. When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And I think sometimes we think that's a one-to-one ratio, but I actually think we take one step to God and he takes a billion steps, and it's like, you know, his step covers half the earth and my step just covers this little piece. He gives so much more than we could ever give. And so there's something powerful about honor. In when we give out of honor, what we can receive in that place. And I've seen that even financially. There's some of the people that I follow that are far away, and some of the people that are nearby. Like my wife and I, we've given out of our resources and our finances and our time to honor these people. And we've actually seen, we didn't ask for anything, and it isn't even like they gave those resources back to us. But we received from the Lord more than we ever thought we would. I'm going to read one last piece here. In Middle Eastern hospitality, this person was traveling to Iran and visiting their cousin. And they write, the most striking example of Iranian hospitality from my own experience doesn't actually include food. When I visited Iran, my cousin Ezi, an ophthalmologist, insisted that I let her examine my eyes, and afterwards bestowed on me a beautiful pair of Tiffany-branded prescription glasses. Truth be told, I would rather have been exploring Tehran during the hours I spent sitting in a chair while she lovingly tested every facet of my eyes, but she would not take no for an answer, This was serious old country civility that is unheard of in the West. There's something about a demonstration of honor. And when, just visiting her cousin, she sits her in a chair, checks out all of her eyes, gives her beautiful Tiffany glasses. Like, there was no obligation to do that. That wasn't done out of a, I will, you know, somebody will be mad at me if I don't do that. It's just done out of a desire to love and out of a desire to connect and have intimacy. Honor paves the way for the presence of God in our life, and it demonstrates that we're ready for greater levels of influence and resources because God knows we'll use them wisely. So I just want to encourage us. I think we have a culture of honor in our family here. And I think we're growing in it, but having an understanding of why do we treat each other the way we do? Why is it so important that we're not passive aggressive or talking behind each other's backs, but we come to somebody with a problem, that we believe the best in each other, that we see each other after the Spirit? It's so essential that we have that heart and that mindset, because that builds the water level of the Holy Spirit here, and we take it with us as well. All right, so Lord, we just thank you that you are a God of honor, and we just honor you first and foremost, above and beyond everything else. God, we just give you our hearts and our minds. And Father, I ask where we have walked in dishonor, where we have maybe spoken words or even allowed, you know, mockery of other people to come into our hearts or our minds, we just ask for your forgiveness, God. We know you haven't called us to walk in shame, so we don't let that cover us. But we do give that back to you and say, Father, we want to learn what it means to honor each other. We want to learn what it means to walk in the rewards and the blessings of honor, to love each other, to see after the Spirit. So God, in the same way that you gave Peter a supernatural download of who Jesus was, God, we ask for a supernatural download, how to see you and how to see each other. To see after the Spirit. We love you, God. Amen.